are you guys? Like, truly, how's everybody doing? Happy Easter. What a beautiful day God's given us today. Got to meet so many new faces out there. So thankful for those of you that are here for the first time, maybe accepting an invitation for the first time. By the way, my name is Aaron, and I'm the lead pastor here. And man, we truly are grateful. We know it's not easy always to come into a new place for the first time, and we're still bringing chairs in. So if you have any open seats anywhere, hopefully we can make room for everybody. It's a good problem to have. So yeah, if you got any spaces that you can scoot in, if you could make that happen right now, that'd be fantastic. We would hate to have anybody not be able to find space for this Easter service. Man, we are grateful that you're a part of this. Like I said, my name's Aaron. And if you accepted that invitation, thanks for accepting the invitation. And maybe, just maybe, you came in here today and you weren't expecting much. Like, let's just be honest, you weren't expecting much. Maybe you're trying to appease grandma or grandpa or your mom or dad and you showed up. And we get that. We know that'll be the story for some. But here's what I would ask, that you would at least consider that God may want more for you than what you came in here expecting. Like, what your experience could be today might be a lot more than what you expected. And I just want you to be open to that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to share with you some points that I believe will be beneficial to all of us, no matter where our faith is or the lack thereof. I'm going to share some points from the crucifixion of Jesus through the resurrection. And I'm going to just kind of set the table, if you will, and I'm just going to let God take it from there. Does that sound good? Is that fair? All right. Hey, this is where I want to start. My guess is that the majority of you have lived enough life to have experienced at some point along the way having to work really hard for something, and then there was a finish line to whatever you had to work really hard for, and you experienced the elation like it's finally finished. It could have been a degree or a doctorate program for you. Maybe you restored an old car, and just seeing that finally come to fruition and seeing the result of all your hard work. Maybe you tried to build a cabin and it took years of your life to build it, and finally. Or maybe for you it was putting something physically challenging in front of you that you had to train for and work hard for in order to reach the finish line. That's actually something that I've tried to create as a consistent rhythm in my life, putting something physically challenging in front of me fairly consistently in my life, to where I knew it's like, if I'm going to do that, it's going to require that I work hard and train hard, because if I don't, then there's no way I'm going to finish. I've done a mountain expedition in the Tetons. I've done the Rim to Rim in the Grand Canyon in one day. I've done triathlons. I'm training right now for my second Spartan, which your pastor needs your prayer, because I am not in shape for this Spartan. I'm just not. I'm going to be honest. I may have a heart attack, so this may be the last Easter service I ever preach. Hopefully not, but I put those things in front of me because I know they're good for me. But if I'm being 100% honest, when it comes to like anything cardiovascular, I absolutely hate it. Anybody else hate cardio with a passion? Like, I'd rather be in the weight room lifting some weights. Like, if God were to design hell specifically for me, it would look like this, right? And I am curious, how many of you would say that you enjoy the step mill? Just raise your hand. Keep your hands up. Yeah, we got a prayer ministry. We want to pray for whatever demon is inside of you to be released. I mean, come on. Can we be honest? Like, hey, let's climb stairs that don't lead anywhere. That sounds like a good time. No, I call that a nightmare. Like, that's what nightmares are made of, right? Maybe you can share this sentiment. The reason why I put those difficult things in front of me is because something happens to me that I can just feel like this is good for me. Like, from a deep spiritual perspective even. Like, this is good for me to have something so hard, it's going to require me to dig deep. It's going to require me to push through some pain. It's going to require me to have a spirit of perseverance. Like, something just beneficial happens to my soul when I do that. Here recently, I found out something really interesting. Neuroscientists have found that there's actually an area of your brain called the anterior mid-cingulate cortex that will only grow when you put something in front of you that you don't want to do, and you force yourself to do it. Interesting enough, they would also tell you this is where we get our will to live. Now, the irony and potentially even the paradox to that point is the Easter story is a story about Jesus not having a will to live, but a will to die. Not because he had a death wish, not because he lacked hope. It's because he knew that through his death that one day he would be able to open the door to you, for you to walk into heaven. But that would have to come on the other side of the finished work of the cross. That would have to come on the other side of his death. and that we would have to fully surrender to him being the leader and Lord of our life. And here's something that some people find surprising if they've never heard it. The path that Jesus would need to take in order for that door to one day be open for each of us, the path that he would need to take is not a path that he wanted to take. Honestly, it was a path he struggled with. It required him to dig deep, to push through some pain, the kind of pain that none of us will ever have to experience. It required him to have a spirit of perseverance. I want to show you what I would argue is the most vulnerable moment in Jesus' life. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, also known as the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Now, I want you to pay attention to the proximity because it's important. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Now watch how the proximity changes. Going a little farther. You see, at first he allowed his disciples to be within his proximity to see that he was struggling. But this next moment of his life, what I would argue is the most vulnerable moment of his life, I don't think he wanted anyone to see. He fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup," which was going to be the cross, "may this cup be taken from me. But God, not as I want or will, but as you want and will." Yes, the cup that Jesus was asking the Father to take from him was going to be a Roman crucifixion. And I would encourage you that if you've never taken the appropriate time to look into the torture method of a Roman crucifixion, I believe as a follower of Jesus, if that's where you're at today, I believe it's worth us taking a little bit more time to dig deeply into that subject so that we can have a greater level of empathy of what Jesus endured on our behalf, the pain that he had to push through. You see, a Roman crucifixion was designed to have the most amount of pain and even shame because they would strip you naked. It was designed to create fear. Each nail, as they drove it into you, was designed to catch a nerve. And the way that they would hang you on the cross would put an immense amount of pressure on your lungs, and the only way that you could catch your breath is actually pushing up off the nail that went through your feet, to push up just to catch your breath before you came back down again. This is why the Roman soldiers oftentimes, to increase the process of death, would come around and break the legs of the criminals so they could no longer push up and catch their breath and therefore dying of suffocation. And so maybe now we can have just a little bit more empathy for the fact that Jesus was asking the question, a very honest question, "God, is there any other way? Is there any other way?" And for those of us that know the story, know that there wasn't. Now, I want to take a moment and just kind of piggyback off of this question and speak into the situation that maybe some of you find yourselves in today. It's possible, but this is the first time that you've ever been to a church, or maybe the first time in a long time, and you would have to admit that there's a part of your story right now that would reflect this question, but in a different way, because you would say, you've been trying to find your own way. Like, you've been trying to do life your own way. And if I could just encourage you to take an honest assessment of your life this morning, this Easter morning, how's that going for you? Like, maybe your answer to that is, you know what, Pastor, it's actually going pretty good. And then some of you would answer just the opposite. You know what? My life sucks right now, and I'm finding myself in a storm, and I'm not sure what to do. But here's what I would tell you. In either circumstance, can I boldly suggest the reason that you even showed up today, or maybe why God got you here today, is because something is still missing from your life? Like, you would admit that even if life's going pretty good, it's like something is still missing. Something still feels incomplete. And I would say with absolute certainty what I believe that is. It's the life that Jesus came to give you on the other side of the finished work of the cross. You see, Jesus died on a cross so he could invite you into something new. And again, if you were to take that honest assessment, you would say, yeah, you know, I believe in God though. So it's not about whether or not you believe in God, but you would still admit that your belief and your faith is kind of just somewhere over here in the periphery. And if I asked you if you've ever actually fully surrendered your life to Christ, You would probably say, no, probably not, because I'm still trying to find my own way. I'm still trying to do this my own way. And I would tell you that if you want to experience the life that is truly life, that's what Jesus, how he defines it. He said he came to give you abundant life. That means the most impactful, impressionable, meaningful life that you could possibly have will only come on the other side of a fully surrendered life to Jesus and what he accomplished for you on that cross. But without it, without that surrender, you will always feel incomplete. I want you to hold that thought. Jesus ultimately surrendered himself to the assignment that God had put him on, to take up a cross. He hung on that cross for 6 hours, if you can imagine that. And towards the end of his time on that cross, as he was reaching his last breath, he uttered 3 words, "It is finished." Now, if we grew up in the church, you've likely heard this, and even if you show up from time to time on an Easter Sunday, you've likely heard these 3 words, but can I just take a moment and repeat them a few times because of how significant they are? It's finished, he said. Like, allow the finality of those words to just kind of settle in. It's finished. It's finished. And if you've never asked the question, no matter how long you've been following Jesus, if you've never asked a really appropriate follow-up question, I would encourage you to ask this question today. What was finished, God? Now, some of us have some quick Sunday school answers, don't we? Where it's like, okay, you know, he finished the sacrifice that needed to be paid. He lived a perfect life. Yep, he did that. That's all true. He lived a perfect life, meaning the only way our sins could be forgiven is if he actually sacrificed his perfect life. Nobody had ever lived a perfect life other than Jesus. So by sacrificing his life, through that, your sins could be forgiven. Yes, that's true. But is that all? That Jesus just saved us from our sin? Because I would tell you, yes, and it's important. Yes, he saved us from our sin. But he also saved us for something so much more. And you won't ever understand the for until you understand everything that he saved you from. And what we have a tendency to do, Christians, listen to me. I know not everybody in here is a Christian, but for those of you that have been following Christ, what we have a tendency to do, oftentimes subconsciously, is we actually go back to the cross and we take the things that Jesus said, no, I took those with me to the cross to finish them. They were finished. And what we have a tendency to do is we go back and we grab the guilt that he said, I'm replacing that with my grace. We grab the guilt and we put it back on our shoulders. We grab the shame that he came to take off of us and we put it back on our shoulders. The shame of our mistakes and the regrets of our past, we take those and put them back on our shoulders. Let me illustrate it this way. Maybe some of you saw this picture of this bull elk. He had a bad day. This was caught on several trail cams, and at some point he put his head through the wrong thing. And he was carrying this tire around, and finally Game and Wildlife got involved. They tranked him and were able to get this tire off of him. And they said a tire this size usually probably would only weigh about 15 pounds, but because it had developed so much debris and then that debris got wet and mud in it and everything, that he was carrying around about an additional 30 pounds of weight. You see, when we go back to the cross and we take things back off of the cross and put them on our shoulders, Jesus is trying to get some of you to experience this today. Maybe this is your takeaway. You are carrying unnecessary weight. You are carrying unnecessary weight. The things that you are putting on your shoulders, I came to shoulder for you on that cross. It was supposed to be finished. Because if you're going to step into the new that I've created you for, yes, I saved you from something, but I also saved you for something, a new life. And if you take that stuff back off the cross and put it on your shoulders, you are not going to walk in the freedom that I set you free for. And so I pray that some of you today, maybe this is your takeaway, that you begin to contemplate, Jesus, what have I taken back off of the cross that you said was finished and put back on my shoulders? Because if I want to walk in the new life that you came to give me, I've got to leave it where you said it was finished. Now, theologically speaking, Jesus saved us from a lot. He saved us from our sin. He saved us from a sacrificial system. He saved us from condemnation and death. He saved us from hell and destruction, but he also saved us from ourselves. Anybody willing to admit today that you need some saving from yourself? throughout your life? Yeah, I definitely have. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this point. Because again, most of us have lived enough life to have experienced that it's not always going to go the way that we would have hoped. It's not always going to go the way that we would have hoped. And when life deals us that unforeseen blow, our natural bent is not to lean towards righteousness. Can we just be honest this Easter morning? Our natural bent is to have a few more beers. Our natural bent, maybe for you, it's to light up another joint. Your natural bent may be to open the computer again and have another look. Whatever it is, what we have a tendency to do is when we're going through a dark season, don't we just start kind of reaching for things? We're looking to remedy the pain in our life. That's what people naturally do when they're in a dark season, right? They start reaching and we think this is going to remedy our pain. And what we don't know is what we say to ourselves, hey, this is just going to be temporary, ends up becoming something that we get stuck in, leading us further away from the heart of God when God is saying, listen, 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 I don't want you to feel guilt about any of that. I took that to the cross, but if you want the new life that I came and died for you for, I'm going to ask that you release that. Whatever it is that you reached for and grabbed onto in a dark season, would you release that so I can bring you into the new life that I came to give you? Now, one of the things that I often do, well, let me say it this way. Let me back up really quick. I've been in, this is just a moment for me to be transparent. We value transparency in this place. I would even tell you, you know, I've been in full-time ministry 15 to 20 years, and I'm still surprised what I can be tempted by. Like if you put the right, or if you will, the wrong formula together, maybe I go through a sleep-deprived season. Maybe a season of ministry has been a little bit more trying and stressful, and you know, you add a couple other unforeseen things in life, and all of a sudden there's this unique formula that I didn't see coming. And now all of a sudden I find myself being tempted by things that I thought were in my distant past. Anybody else been there? Like, can we just be honest this morning? Pull the curtains back a little bit. And I think this would be good, maybe for those of the people that are coming into our church for the very first time. Like, can we have a moment of vulnerability as a church? Has anybody ever reached for the wrong thing in a dark season of time? Yeah, look around. And here's what I want to do. If you don't know this, our name Trace stands for Truth and Grace. Yes, I want to even the playing field. That's why I wanted you to see those hands. Let's even the playing field. We've all been there. But I also don't want you to live in that excuse because it'll never lead you to the life that God wants for you. And so the truth is, no matter how painful, no matter how hard those seasons are, we shouldn't, and again, maybe we're in the, you know, the posture of making excuses. Well, hey, what would you expect me to do when I went through that? Like I can justify the fact, hey, I just need a joint from time to time. I need a couple more beers. But what you don't know is that's going to lead you to a path of further and further distance from what God has for you. And man, I promise you it's so much better because I've gone down those paths and got to the destination to where I'm like, now I feel stuck. How do I get back? Because I know God's got more for me than this. And so I don't want to leave you today with an excuse of, yeah, no matter how painful your season is, you're still not justified to continue to grab on and hold on to things that are going to lead you further away from the heart of God. Can you be forgiven? Yes, of everything. Let me show you something that Paul says when he wrote to the church in Corinthians. He said this, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. When I'm specifically speaking to the heart of men and fellas, if I can just have this moment with you briefly, I love speaking into the heart of men and specifically challenging them to prepare for your weakest moment. Because you are only as strong as your weakest moment. On that note, here in a couple weeks, on April 13th, we're going to have a fight night here at Trace. We're going to be showing UFC 300 on a big screen. Only at Trace would I be talking about UFC on Easter Sunday. Welcome to Trace. We're glad you're here. And guys, this is an opportunity for you to invite your buddy who doesn't want to show up on an Easter Sunday. And I want to encourage you to get him here. And I'm not going to preach at him. I'll try not to be weird, okay? That's my promise to you. But I will stand up on this stage for about 3 minutes and I'll look at him. And with as much sincerity as I can muster up, I'm gonna let him know, hey, you don't know me and you maybe don't know this place, but this church is committed to helping you stay in the fight and win the battles that matter the most. Because, you can clap for that if you want. Because the battles that matter the most don't just affect you. The battles that matter the most affect your spouse, affect your kids, affect others that you might have leadership over or influence over. And so we're committed to helping you to stay in the fight and win the battles that matter the most. But in this passage, I'm reminded, if no temptation has overtaken me, that means God has given me the possibility of overcoming any temptation my way if I have the promised Holy Spirit inside of me. And you're only given the promised Holy Spirit, if you ask me, I think hands down we should agree with this, that the best gift God could have ever given you was his Holy Spirit to come alongside of you, to prop you up, to help you to feel strength that you would never have on your own, to overcome any temptation that would potentially lead you further away from the new life that he came to give you. Now, I'm going to take a detour. And for those of you that come to Trace know I do this from time to time. And the reason I call it a detour is because I'm getting ready to get completely outside of my sermon. And the reason that I'm even doing this is because as I was preparing this message, I felt like God was just kind of saying, Aaron, I want you to pause right here. Because there's going to be several people that come over this Easter weekend that need to hear what I'm putting on your heart to say, and here's what it is. When you look at this passage, if you ask me, is one of the most mistranslated passages in all of Scripture. And there's a good chance that some of you in this room have heard this passage translated this way, that God will never give you more than you can handle. And here's your pastor giving you full permission that if anybody ever says that, even a well-meaning Christian, ever says God will never give you more than you can handle, you can look at them and say, shut up in the name of Jesus. My pastor told me I could tell you that. And yes, I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I would tell you this phrase, this statement, this sentiment does so much more damage than you could ever imagine. It can poison somebody's perspective of who God really is, because the only time that somebody would actually be hearing this statement is because they're sharing with somebody a deep and hard and dark season that they're going through and that they don't feel like they can handle it. And so somebody looks at them, likely well-meaning. Hey, God will never give you more than you can handle. Really clear, God never said that, but if that person doesn't know any better and they're interpreting who God is in their life, if God won't give me more than I can handle, then what does that say about me? Because I can't handle this. And so if this is truly a sentiment that God wants for me, which he doesn't, that means there's something wrong with me. Because right now I can't handle another miscarriage. I can't handle the fact that I lost my child. I can't handle that my husband was cheating on me. I can't handle the divorce. I can't handle the abuse. I can't handle the loss of my mom or dad. I can't handle the fact that the cancer is back. And listen, if you have ever experienced anything remotely like any of those things, that does not make you weak. It makes you human. And one of the most consistent human experiences is that there will be moments in your life that you will not be able to handle on your own, and you weren't designed to handle on your own. One of our mantras here at Trace is that we extend hope when life hurts, because one of the most consistent experiences of our lives is that life is going to hurt from time to time. And God knows that you were never designed to even handle some of the things that some of you are going through right now, which is why he gave you and gives you his promised Holy Spirit. But let me bring us back into my message fully. I believe that when Jesus went to that cross, part of what he was thinking when he was going to finish so many things for us, he was thinking about everything that you could not handle on your own. Everything that you would not be able to handle without him. I want some of you to think about the circumstance that you're in right now. Maybe some of you are like, I think this guy's reading my diary. And whatever it is that you're going through right now, that maybe you share that, I don't know if I can handle this on my own. Jesus was thinking of you when he went to the cross. She won't be able to handle that on her own. He won't be able to handle that on his own, which is why I'm going to give them the best gift that I can ever give them. In Ephesians 1, we read it this way. I also pray, this is Apostle Paul, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Do you know what that means? It means we actually have resurrection power running through our veins. And that sounds like super spiritual. So can I just kind of have a moment of transparency? This is a preacher telling you this. I don't claim to fully understand what that means for you or what it fully means for me, but I have dedicated my life to studying it. and teaching it and preaching it, because I believe the more that we can hold on to or grab onto the gift that God has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit, the more we will be able to dig deep when we need to dig deep. Press through the pain when we need to press through the pain. Find that spirit of perseverance. But here's where I want to be clear. But we were also never intended to do that alone, ever. The Apostle Paul says, if you want to fulfill the law of Christ, carry one another's burdens. I want you to think about that. Like, start with, ask the question, how do you fulfill the law of Christ? Carry each other's burdens. Why would Paul make such a strong statement? Because he knows that we fight and battle a real enemy on a day-to-day basis that is trying to convince you that you're not enough, that you can't handle it. Because it's you, it's your problem, where the Spirit of God is saying, you were never intended to handle this on your own. And one of the best things that I can do for you is to give you my promised Holy Spirit, but it will not come until you fully surrender your life to the finished work of Jesus. I love how Paul says some things in Philippians 3 as he's just kind of contemplating. Like, we get to see Paul kind of process in this passage. I love it. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow, right? He's like somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. Somebody say, press on. I dig deep. I press through the pain. I invite others to help me carry my burdens. I find that spirit of perseverance, and I take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has took hold of me. Listen to me. Several of you in here today, Jesus has already made it clear that he's trying to get hold of your life. He's been attempting to get a hold of your life, but for whatever reason you are resisting, take it from a guy that's been down that path over and over again. In my distant past, the majority of my younger life was me feeling like Jesus was trying to grab me. And I resisted over and over and over again. And that was the season I hurt the most people in my life. That's the season where I've got the biggest skeletons in my closet. And so if my admission to that today could potentially help some of you to wake up and allow Jesus to take hold of you, yes, you might need to let go of something first. Potentially what you need to let go of is your own path, your own way. You're trying to figure it out your own way. Is there any other way? Jesus says, I am that way. I am the truth. The life that you actually want, I am that life. And the only way that the door of heaven will be open for you one day so you get to meet your heavenly Father will only come through me. Right now, God is here. Right now. And everything that you have ever done, think about this, everything can be forgiven on the other side of you surrendering your life to Jesus in the finished work of the cross. And by doing that, yes, Jesus saved you from something. He saved us from so much. But you will then get to experience what he saved you for, a new life, a life lived in freedom. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Every Easter, we give people an opportunity to make a confession of faith. We give people an opportunity to receive Jesus, to let go of whatever they need to let go of so that Jesus can grab onto them. And we invite you to come forward, and we invite you to get baptized. And baptism is such a significant part of the Christian walk. Baptism in its own right, it's a burial. And it's also a resurrection. You see, when you go underneath the water, it's as if you are dying. This is the representation. It's so beautiful. It's as if you're dying to your way of life. You go underneath the water, it's a death. And then you come up out of the water to walk a new life in Christ. Let me show you how Paul says it when he wrote to the church in Rome. He says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ. We're baptized into his death, crucifixion. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, resurrection, through the glory of the Father, that we can too live a new life. I know some of you might be thinking right now, man, Aaron, I feel what you're talking about. I feel it. I can feel Jesus trying to grab onto me. But man, if you see what's kind of going on in the sphere of my life right now, I don't deserve that. I probably need to go fix some things, go straighten some things out before I could ever invite Jesus to take hold of my life. Here's where it gets really good. Jesus says, everything that you feel like you need to do, I already accomplished for you on that cross. Don't take it back off. Don't take it back off. I took that to the cross with me. All your mistakes, your failures, your guilt, your shame because of past mistakes, the things that you did last night, I took it all with me to that cross. Don't take it back off. My gift to you is my grace, which means you don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I'm going to set you free, and I'm going to invite you into a new life. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to come down if you feel so led that this is your story and you need to surrender, and come down and grab one of these white towels. And they're white for a very intentional purpose. It's a sign of surrender. By the way, we've already had over 20 people be baptized. Last several services. And some of you are thinking right now, it's like, hey, I got my best dress on. You came, and you guys look beautiful, by the way, right? You look beautiful. I'm not going to take that away from you. But we've got clothes for you in the back. So I want to take that excuse away from you, that if God's compelling you to make this decision today, that you would be obedient, you would come forward and grab one of these towels. Maybe some of you would say, you know what, I've been following Jesus for a long time, but for whatever reason, I've never been baptized, and you feel kind of embarrassed by it. On Friday night, I gave this invitation for people to come forward, and I remember seeing a gentleman as he left. I could tell he was feeling convicted. Can we give it up for these guys right here that are grabbing towels? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Proud of you. God doesn't need me up here. I don't know what I was saying. Give me a second. Some of you, yeah, I met the gentleman that he was leaving on Friday night, and I could tell he was convicted, and he showed up again Saturday night. And he said, I was supposed to come forward, and I didn't. So I came back tonight. And on Saturday night, there was a couple who came. I saw him again this morning at the 8:30 service. They said, we were supposed to come forward on Saturday night. We got in our car. We looked at each other and said that was supposed to be us. So they came back. They got baptized just last service. Yeah. Maybe it's not what you expected today. That's why we've been praying all week that you'd be open, that God's got a different experience than what you expected. I think of this guy named Tim from last year. Last year, we have 20 to 30 people come forward and be baptized. Tim had never been to church before, and he came because his son invited him. Nick, yep. This is him signing our wall. I promise you, when Tim came to church, he didn't expect that his son was going to baptize him that day. It was the first time he'd been to church. He also didn't expect that he was actually going to die that same week. The reason I tell you that, you do what I do long enough, time is more fleeting than you think it is. Life is more fleeting than you think it is. And some of you have the excuse today, hey, I feel convicted. I'll do it another day. Someday, when God is saying, no, someday is today. Right now, I want you to experience the fullness of what Jesus accomplished for you on the cross. Stop doing it on your own terms. As soon as you say someday, it's still on your own terms. It's still trying you. It's you trying to find your own way. And Jesus is saying, no, it's my way. It's my way. Because I'm going to lead you to the best, most full and complete life that you could ever imagine. Start doing it on my terms instead of yours. And then you will find that new life that I came to give you, that I sacrificed my life for, that cross that I struggled with the idea of taking on, but I did it anyway because my love for you, that you were worth it. I want to open up this invitation maybe to some of you, and maybe your parents had you dedicated when you were a baby, sprinkled, whatever you want to call it. And we think that's an incredibly honorable thing that your parents did. But if you read through the New Testament, you will never find once someone being baptized where they didn't make that decision for themselves. Can we give it up for these young ladies right here? Baptism was always designed to be a decision that you made. Nobody else makes that decision for you. Nobody does. So if that's been a part of your story and journey, let it be the decision that you make today between you and your Heavenly Father. Jesus himself modeled this for you. I'm going to pray for us, and then when I'm done, I'm going to invite those of you that have been following Jesus and you've already committed your life to Christ. We're going to experience something called communion, the Lord's Supper. Maybe you grew up in a tradition, it was called the Eucharist. And the way we do that here at Trace is around the room, there are tables with communion elements on them, and we take the cracker on the table and we dip it in the juice. The cracker, the juice represents his blood. And we remember the finished work of the cross. And can I encourage you to take just a few more moments of contemplation around that? Ask the question, Jesus, what did you finish for me that I'm still taking back and putting on my own shoulders? Allow this Easter Sunday for something to happen deep in your soul and your spirit. Maybe you need to dig a little deeper, fight through some pain, have a spirit of perseverance. My hope and prayer is that all of us would leave today a little different, wanting a little bit more of what Jesus died for us for, the new life he came to give us. Let me pray for us. God, right now, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would fall in this room. It already has. Father, I pray that you would continue to convict where you need to convict. For those that feel guilty, that you would make so clear right now, that guilt is not of me. Let me replace it with my grace. There are some people right now that came with a group, and they're thinking to themselves, it would be kind of weird if I went forward right now. Listen to me, if that happens to be you, Holy Spirit, would you speak this better than I can? You don't have to explain yourself to anyone. Nobody else has to understand what God's doing in you right now. And I pray that today is the day that you make a decision. Who cares what anybody else thinks? This is between you and your Heavenly Father. Today is going to start a new path for something different, something better, something new. So God, we come back to your table. Help us to see and experience and to feel everything that was finished. You weren't finished, Jesus, but you finished so much for us. We want to take it all. Pray this in your name, everybody said. Amen. I want you to feel free to respond. If you want to come and grab a towel, I'll be holding them right down here.